The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs. Will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, welcome to a Thursday. Oh, one more day until the weekend. We can do it. We can get there. And things are a little more positive than they've been in a while, mostly because we're seeing some action with the whole Trump circus. Tuesday was a big day. Yesterday was sort of all the pearl clutching and excuses. We got a Donald Trump interview with, shocker, Fox and Fiends. Go figure. He does another interview with Fox. We'll have some of that in What's News today. No great revelations. He just continues to show what a jerk he is. I did make you a promise that I was going to try to start off every day's show with something humorous, something funny. And I'll tell you, this week is a challenge because all of the late night TV shows, all the late night talk shows, are on vacation this week. I bet they're kicking themselves for all being gone, you know, while this is happening. But somebody even made a mention on YouTube yesterday, is Sam B on vacation? I think she is. I mean, she did have a new show last night, but it was like a clip show. A lot of stuff from former shows. So I think everybody, it's the dog days of August. You know, people go on vacation. This is when they say even that people with psychiatric problems, have a hard time in August because even the therapists go away in August. Oh, go figure. Anyway, I did pull a clip from last week. No, there is a new Full Frontal, but the way it's set up is a lot of clips from old shows. So I think they're on vacation this week too. But there is a show. It was on last night. But as I mentioned the other day, one of the best shows, funniest shows on TV is the Jim Jefferies Show. It's on, I believe, Tuesday nights on Comedy Central. And this past Tuesday night, Jim Jefferies got together a group of people who are believers in the whole QAnon thing. I don't even know what to call it. It's a conspiracy, right? So he got four people together, as three men and a woman, to explain what QAnon is all about. So I thought I'd share that with you to get things going today. Take it away, Jim Jefferies.
Donald Trump put his name on the political map with a conspiracy theory.
Why doesn't he show his birth certificate?
And it's not the only time he's gone to that well.
They say they found a pillow on his face, which is a pretty unusual place to find a pillow.
The beautiful child went to have the vaccine, now is autistic.
Recently, many of Trump's supporters are buying into something even bigger.
Those Trump supporters you see waving around the letter Q are followers of Q.
What QAnon is a fringe movement in which many baseless conspiracy theories are discussed on the internet.
So I dove deep into the rabbit hole to talk to four prominent QAnon researchers, including one who has 140,000 YouTube subscribers and millions of views.
Hey.
What is QAnon?
QAnon is basically a shadow civil war between rogue intelligence agencies and good guys, for lack of a better term.
Uh-oh.
Do we all agree on this? This exists.
QAnon 100%.
100%.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
100%. Q's a guy that's on the internet.
Not a guy.
Not a guy.
It's a group. The people that have the full scope of the picture is less than 10. We shouldn't be caught up on who is Q. It's more of what is it.
He says that because what's about to be revealed is that QAnon is actually JFK Jr. So JFK Jr. is alive.
and he brought the plan to Donald pre-1999.
Uh-huh. Is Q more powerful than Trump?
Trump is a part of the Q team. So he's,
just part of the team.
Yeah, he's actually posted at least once or twice. At least twice, and he's signed
it.
Well, we do know that because he's when it's signed as 4-10-20, that's Donald J. Trump. But you got to understand numerology to know that. There was a tweet where everything in the tweet is just regular verbiage, regular grammar, but he has the word roaring, the word great, and the word reviews all in caps. Look up the numerology behind those words, and it comes out to the number 17.
What does the number 17 mean?
Q.
That just means Q.
It's the 17th letter in the alphabet.
Well, this is a lot more simple than I thought it would be.
Donald Trump is one of the most intelligent men probably in our lifetime, like top five, believe it or not.
I find it hard.
He might actually be right on this one, according to one reliable source.
I was a really good student at the best school. I'm not like a smart guy, okay? Trust me, I'm like a smart person.
In your mind, Q is a force of good?
Yes.
And it's saving us from what? An elite satanic pedophile ring?
One of the aspects of corruption they are working to dismantle is human trafficking rings. Yes.
Oh my God.
Remember when Trump was on stage and he grabbed the Fiji water? Fiji is one of the biggest human trafficking areas on the planet.
What big profile people are in this pedophile ring?
Do you want names?
Sure.
Hillary Clinton.
You think Hillary Clinton's a pedophile?
Worse.
What's worse than a pedophile?
Human sacrifice, child sacrifice, newborn babies. There's something in their blood that apparently gives them some euphoric experience.
It's called adrenochrome. It acts as a drug, essentially.
Where do they get the babies from?
Haiti.
A lot of these babies are bred specifically for that purpose.
Give me five names of big names that are going down.
Hillary Clinton, John Podesta, John McCain, George Bush, and
Obama. James Comey.
The conspiracy theories surrounding Obama. Michelle is a man?
I'm just saying, there's a bulge.
Do you believe that Michelle Obama has a penis? Do you believe Michelle Obama is a man?
I tend to think she is.
What real evidence is there to support any of these claims?
What claims?
What claims? You just said Hillary Clinton eats babies and Michelle Obama pisses standing up. There is no bulge.
I want to make sure, like, people need to know this. Like, QAnon is not, like, we are not tied to, like, Alex Jones or anything, like, in regards to, like, InfoWars. Like, that would be, like, a misrepresentation of who we are as researchers.
No, that guy's crazy.
He's insane.
That's the tough thing about conspiracy theories is that a lot of them are put out there very purposely to distract and confuse, and they're just BS.
So what's being sent out to distract us?
Flat Earth.
Flat Earth.
Oh, my God.
See? You believe... So
let me comment on that. All right, I'm going to blow your minds right now. You ready? Right.
Looking forward to it.
When we scrutinize all those things coming from NASA, it's all CGI. It's all edited.
So you're telling me moon round, Jupiter round, sun round,
not
Earth
spherical.
Flat.
The world's round.
The reason that QAnon is a Trump supporter's wet dream is because it encompasses nearly every conspiracy theory in the history of the world, from the Freemasons to the deep state and everything in between.
9/11,
Israel.
False flag. Inside job.
It's politics, it's Hollywood, it's music, it's religion.
It's literally life or death.
I was just going to pull up a picture of JFK's burial site. It's the shape of a Q.
Pizza, walnut sauce, dominoes. There's various food language that is used for code words in pedophile circles.
Russian collusion, false flag.
Oh, 100%. They colluded with Hillary and Barack.
What people are seeing is demonic possession.
Wow. Seems to play.
And that was like Dragon Society, which supposedly came up out of Asia, but has been forming Western alliances.
The Queen of England was accused of being a shapeshifter by Putin.
Thousands of people saw the Queen of England turn into her true form.
Wouldn't you love to find out that cancer can be cured?
Do you think the government's holding back a cancer?
I've seen it done.
There's going to be an order allowing elected officials to be court-martialed. Have you heard of this? At
I haven't
all, Jordan?
Heard about it at all.
No. Okay, so we'll have to look into this.
Lizard people.
Not like
that. I haven't seen anything crazy. I've felt energy, but not seen it.
Define lizard people.
It's one thing to listen to what these conspiracy theorists think about the world, but it's entirely another that they elected one of their own to run it. And that should make even the most rational of us paranoid as f***.
Any of you think that anything that you've heard today is crazy?
Yes.
Well, at least we've got that going for us. Oh, my goodness. From Jim Jeffries' show on Tuesday night on Comedy Central. Those are real people. Those are their real thoughts. And now we understand this a little bit more.
I love the poorly educated.
They're his people. That's his base. All right. Oh, man. Today is Thursday. Howie Klein will be here. And, you know, each Thursday morning I send Howie an email and I say, is there anything in particular on your mind today that you'd like to hit on? And today he wrote back. He said, how about impeachment? You know, for those who weren't listening, I think it was Friday, wasn't it? Friday of last week? Yep. On Friday of last week, I interviewed Ron Fine. He's with Free Speech for People, that's the organization, and he and two of his colleagues, all three of them are constitutional lawyers, wrote a book called The Constitution Demands It, The Case for the Impeachment of Donald Trump. And all I can say is if you haven't heard last Friday's show, go back and listen to it at your leisure, because it makes a lot of sense. Or get the book. It's easy reading, and there's a lot there. So despite what Nancy Pelosi says, I think the events that unfolded on Tuesday have taken us a little bit closer to the possible impeachment of Donald Trump. The thing is, in order to get it done, you need to vote. So this coming Tuesday is election day down here in Florida. Now, I've already voted because I vote by mail. I vote absentee. So we fill out our ballots at home, and then we drop them off in person to the Registrar of Voters office because, to make sure it gets there and it's counted. And so our vote's counted. Hopefully, the underdog, Andrew Gillum, will get the nomination to be Florida's governor. Otherwise, we're just screwed. I mean, any of them would be better than Rick Scott, who we have now. Rick Scott may wind up being the next senator from Florida. I don't know. It's a scary thing. That's why it's so important that everyone vote. All right, we'll get into it all with Howie Klein. First, let's get through today's news, shall we?
I read the news today. Oh,
boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
We start today with yesterday's White House press briefing. Press Secretary Sarah Sanders took to the podium yesterday for her first briefing since Tuesday's double whammy of Paul Manafort's convictions and Michael Cohen's plea deal. But she didn't really answer many questions.
Michael Cohen under oath pleaded guilty to, among things, paying Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal during the campaign. And he says he did it at the direction of the President of the United States. Did President Trump commit a crime?
As the president said, we've stated many times, he did nothing wrong. Uh-huh. There are no charges against him. Uh-huh. And we've commented on this extensively.
Then why not report these payments?
I'm not going to get into the back and forth details. I can tell you, as the president has stated on numerous occasions, he did nothing wrong. There are no charges against him in this. And just because Michael Cohen made a plea deal doesn't mean that implicates the president on anything.
John, today and say the president has never lied to the American people. Ooh. Because so many people now look back at that tape of him on Air Force One saying he knew nothing about these payments. When in fact we now know he knew everything about these
payments.
Yes,
he did.
So has he lied?
Look, again, I think that's a ridiculous accusation.
Ridiculous.
The president in this matter has done nothing wrong, and there are no charges against him.
Do you notice a theme here? Yes, there was the definite theme in Sarah Huckabee Sanders' answers yesterday.
As the president said, we've stated many times, he did nothing wrong. There are no charges against him. As the president has stated on numerous occasions, he did nothing wrong. There are no charges against him in this. The president mm-hmm. in this matter has done nothing wrong, and there are uh-huh. no charges against him. What the president has stated a number of times, he did nothing wrong. There are no charges against him.
What?
He knows that he did nothing wrong.
Huh?
What I can tell you about this is that the president did nothing wrong. There are no charges against him. There is no collusion for anything beyond that. Just because you continue to ask the same questions over and over, I'm not going to give you a different answer. The president has done nothing wrong. There are no charges against him. There is no collusion.
Sorry, Squaw. I'll scratch the record. Sorry, Squaw. I'll scratch the record. Sorry.
Sorry about that. Yes, it sounds like a broken record. Donald Trump sat for an interview with Fox and Fiend's Ainsley Earhart. in which he admitted he paid two women during the 2016 presidential campaign to keep quiet about affairs they allegedly had with him, essentially admitting that he committed a federal crime.
Did you know about the payments?
Later on, I knew. But you have to understand, Ainsley, what he did, and they weren't taken out of campaign finance. That's a big thing. That's a much bigger thing. Did they come out of the campaign? They didn't come out of the campaign. My first question when I heard about it was, did they come out of the campaign? Because that could be a little dicey. And they didn't come out of the campaign, and that's big. But they weren't, it's not even a campaign violation.
That's not a campaign violation. I know some who would beg to disagree with him. As he tends to do, Trump rambled incessantly and kept repeating himself. He said a lot of words, but never answered the question asking if he would consider pardoning Manafort.
Are you considering pardoning Paul Manafort?
I have great respect for what he's done in terms of what he's gone through. You know, he worked for Ronald Reagan for years. He worked for Bob Dole.
That's not the question.
He worked, I guess his firm worked for McCain. He worked for many, many people, many, many years.
Wow.
And I would say what he did, some of the charges they threw against him, every consultant, every lobbyist in Washington probably does. If you look at Hillary Clinton's person,
that's not the question.
You take a look at the people that worked for Hillary Clinton. I mean, look at the crimes that Clinton did with the emails, and she deletes 33,000 emails after
question.
She gets a subpoena from Congress. And this Justice Department does nothing about it. And all of the other crimes that they've done, and they don't. Look at Podesta. Podesta was supposed to be Manafort on steroids. They made him close up his firm. He was going to be indicted the next day, we heard. Never happened. Instead, they go after Manafort. So, look, I didn't know Manafort well. He wasn't with the campaign long. They got him on things totally unrelated to the campaign. And by the way, they got Cohn on totally unrelated to the campaign. I'm not involved. I wasn't charged with anything.
Just wait.
You know, people don't like to say that, but I wasn't charged.
Okay, it goes like this. He never answered the question, even though Ainsley Earhart teased the day before that he did hint that he would pardon Manafort. He never did. He never answered the fucking question, in case you were wondering. His best answer, in the humorous vein, came when he was asked about the possibility of impeachment. You got to listen to this.
If the Democrats take back power, do you believe they will try to impeach you?
Well, you know, I guess it's just something like high crimes and all.
Something like high crimes and all?
Impeach somebody who's done a great job.
Oh, God.
I'll tell you what. If I ever got impeached, I think the market would crash. I think everybody would be very poor.
Oh, really?
Because without this thinking, you would see numbers that you wouldn't believe.
What is he talking about? In reverse?
If Hillary Clinton got elected.
That's not the question.
Instead of 4.1 up, and each point is $3.5 trillion and 10 million jobs. When I took it over, it was at one.
Okay, stop. Okay, so you heard the gist of it. If he got impeached, the market would crash and everybody would be poor. That's a quote from the President of the United States, just in case you were wondering. Oh, my God. Trump actually suggested that flipping on someone in a plea deal should be illegal. Seriously.
You're saying the payments, if they're not illegal, then why would he use that information for a
because
plea deal?
Because he makes a better deal when he uses me.
Oh,
like
it's all about
else.
You, Donald.
And one of the
all
reasons I
you.
Respect Paul Manafort so much is he went through that trial. You know, they make up stories. People make up stories. This whole thing
yeah,
about
you make up stories.
Flipping, they call it. I know all about flipping for 30,
you know
40
all
years.
Flipping.
I've been watching Flippers. Everything's wonderful, and then they get
they
10 years in jail,
Flipper.
And they flip on whoever the next highest one is, or as high as you can go. It almost ought to be outlawed. It's not fair, because if somebody's going to spend 5 years like Michael Cohn, or 10 years, or 15 years in jail because of a taxi cab industry, because he defrauded some bank, the last two were the tiny ones. You know, campaign violations are considered not a big deal, frankly.
What?
But if somebody defrauded a bank,
no, that's
he's
not
get
true.
10 years in jail or 20 years in jail. But if you can say something bad about Donald Trump and you'll go down to 2 years or 3 years, which is the deal he made, in all fairness to him, most people are going to do that. And I've seen it many times. I've had many friends involved in this stuff. It's called flipping, and it almost ought to be illegal. You get 10 years in jail.
It almost ought to be illegal.
If you say bad things about somebody, in other words, make up stories if you don't know.
No, it's not about making up stories, you fucking moron.
Alan Dershowitz said compose, right? They make up lies. I've seen it many times. They make up things, and now they go from 10 years to they're a national hero. They have a statue erected in their honor. It's not.
What
it's
the
not
hell
a fair
is he
thing,
talking about?
But that's why he did it. He made a very good deal. I mean, for what he did.
Yeah. Well, we'll wait and see what kind of deal he made. It's developing, as they say. On Tuesday, the jury hearing the Paul Manafort case returned a guilty verdict on 8 of the 18 charges. Juror Paula Duncan, a Trump supporter, appeared on Fox yesterday and explained there was one lone holdout.
The person, a female juror, was we all tried to convince her to look at the paper trail. We laid it out in front of her again and again, and she still said that she had a reasonable doubt. And that's the way the jury worked. We didn't want it to be hung, so we tried for an extended period of time to convince her, but in the end, she held out, and that's why we have 10 counts that did not get a verdict.
So on those 10 counts, it was 11 to 1. It was this one woman who was holding him back. Go figure. And just this morning, U.S. prosecutors granted immunity to David Pecker in the Cohen investigation. Pecker, of course, is the head of AMI, who owns the National Enquirer. And he's telling that Donald Trump knew all about the payments and everything. Things are getting a little sticky for a little Donald. Yeah. Don't you feel so bad for him? It's a sad thing. Here.
And we have more breaking news now. The Wall Street Journal is reporting tonight that David Pecker, the chairman of American Media Incorporated, which publishes the National Enquirer, provided prosecutors with details about payments Mr. Cohen arranged with women who alleged sexual encounters with President Trump, including Mr. Trump's knowledge of the deals.
And again, so that was last night, and this morning, David Pecker gets immunity. If your name was Pecker, wouldn't you change it? Just asking for a friend. Thought I'd ask. There's something I've wanted to share with you. I didn't get to it yesterday, but we've got a few minutes now. This video has gone viral. Beto O'Rourke, who we've been telling you about for a long time, is a congressman out of Texas who actually he used to be a punk rocker. Yeah, he played in a rock and roll band. He was one of, before he ran for Congress, he was one of Howie Klein's Blue America guys. He served two terms in the House of Representatives. And Beto O'Rourke has always believed in term limits. He doesn't think someone should get elected to Congress and spend the rest of their lives there as a career. So Howie had told me that Beto always said he should serve 2 years and then, move on. So he's moving on, trying to unseat Ted Cruz from the Senate. And Beto O'Rourke is doing a great job. He's gone to every county in the state. He's crisscrossing that entire state of Texas, and he's making such great inroads that right now the latest poll has them 4 points apart, and I think that's a statistical dead heat. A video of him answering a question about the NFL players taking, and he has gone viral. And it's just so good, so I thought I'd share it with you.
I kind of wanted to know how you personally felt about how disrespectful it is, like you had the NFL players kneeling during the national anthems. I wanted to know if you found that disrespectful to our country, to our veterans, and anybody related to that. I find it incredibly frustrating that people seem to be okay with that, and I would just like to hear your input.
Thank you. Thanks for a great question. Again, on a really tough issue that if we don't talk about is not going to get better. And the question is, how do you feel about NFL players who take a knee during the national anthem? And is it disrespectful to this country, to the flag, to service members who are right there tonight, where it is tonight in Afghanistan, and those former service members, retirees, and veterans who are here with us today? Thank you each for your service. My short answer is no. I don't think it's disrespectful. Here's my longer answer, but I'm going to try to make sure that I get this right, because I think it's a really important question. And reasonable people can disagree on this issue. Let's begin there. And it makes them no less American to come down on a different conclusion on this issue, right?
You go.
You can feel as a young man does, you can feel as I do, you're every bit as American all the same. But I'm reminded, somebody mentioned reading the Taylor Branch book. You did. Parting the Waters and the King Years. And when you read that book and find out what Dr. King and this nonviolent, peaceful movement to secure better, because they didn't get full, civil rights for their fellow Americans, the challenges that they faced, those who died in Philadelphia, Mississippi, for the crime of trying to be a man, trying to be a woman in this country, the young girls who died in the church bombing, those who were beaten within an inch of their life crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama, with John Lewis, those who were punched in the face, spat upon, dragged out by their collar at the Woolworth lunch counter for sitting with white people at the same lunch counter in the same country where their fathers may have bled the same blood on the battlefields of Omaha Beach or Okinawa or anywhere that anyone ever served this country. The freedoms that we have were purchased not just by those in uniform, and they definitely were, but also by those who took their lives into their hands riding those Greyhound buses, the Freedom Riders in the Deep South in the 1960s, who knew full well that they would be arrested, and they were, serving time in the Mississippi State Penitentiary. Rosa Parks getting from the back of the bus to the front of the bus, peaceful, nonviolent protests, including taking a knee at a football game to point out that black men, unarmed, black teenagers, unarmed, and black children, unarmed, are being killed at a frightening level right now, including by members of law enforcement, without accountability and without justice. And this problem, as grave as it is not going to fix itself. And they're frustrated, frankly, with people like me and those in positions of public trust and power who have been unable to resolve this or bring justice for what has been done and to stop it from continuing to happen in this country. And so nonviolently, peacefully, while the eyes of this country are watching these games, they take a knee to bring our attention and our focus to this problem to ensure that we fix it. That is why they are doing it. And I can think of nothing more American than to peacefully stand up or take a knee for your rights anytime, anywhere, any place. So thank you very much for asking the question.
How awesome is that? Sign me up. Where do I vote? Well, you got to be in Texas to vote for Beto O'Rourke. But that man deserves your vote. That man deserves to be the next senator from the state of Texas. And Ted Cruz deserves to be sent home for good. May we never have to see his penis nose again. Sorry, Ted Cruz has a penis nose. He just does. Look at a picture of him. It looks like a dick. It's true. Just search Google images for Ted Cruz and look, and you can thank me later. All right, we'll take a quick time out. We'll get some words of wisdom from Jim Hightower and come back on the other side with Howie Klein of Down with Tyranny and the Blue America Pact next on The Nicole Sandler Show at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Donald Trump shoots at Amazon but hits our U.S. Postal Service instead. Hear about it today on Hightower's Radio Lowdown. If you inject a stream of raw ignorance into a vat of gaseous arrogance, then jolt the mixture with 1,000 megawatts of malevolence, what does it produce? Answer, Donald Trump's executive order of April 12th. King Donald I has been in a deep pout over negative articles about him in the Washington Post newspaper, which is owned by Jeff Bezos, king of the Amazon.com empire. King Trump fired off several rounds of angry tweets assailing King Bezos, including a potshot claiming that Amazon is, quote, ripping off the post office by underpaying for the millions of its packages the Postal Service ships. Tweets aside, Trump has the firepower of the federal government at his fingertips. So he's now arrogantly using the government to escalate his personal spat with Bezos. By executive order, he set up a federal task force to conduct a pernicious political inquisition into, quote, our money-losing post office, particularly looking at the, quote, pricing of the package delivery market. This reflects Trump's vast ignorance. Far from being a money loser, the U.S. Postal Service has actually been earning about $1 billion a year in profit. His false claim of unsustainable postal losses stems from a 2006 political ploy by right-wingers who want to destroy the public service. They passed a law dictating that USPS pre-fund retiree health benefits 75 years into the future, covering benefit costs for workers who haven't even been born, much less hired and retired. This adds a totally hokey expense of up to $5 billion a year to the USPS corporate ledger, creating the fake loss Trump is now so bombastically citing as the rationale for his destructive inquisition. This is Jim Hightower saying, sometimes public policy inadvertently turns bad, but when it's based on ignorance and arrogance, policy inevitably goes bad.
Need an antidote to the progressive blues? Want some good news about how grassroots folks are rebelling against the corporate powers and winning? Well, here's an easy-to-swallow pill for you, the Hightower Lowdown. Hightower's monthly newsletter will give you the lowdown, even as it lifts you up. It's 4 pages a month, jam-packed with facts you can use, actions you can take, and Jim's own Texas humor, all for only $15 a year. To become a lowdowner, go to HightowerLowdown.org.
Can't afford a monthly donation? Is that what's getting you down, Bunky? But maybe you shop on Amazon.com occasionally?
Well then, just use the NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal, and we'll get a small commission on all your purchases.
But I just bought...
Don't worry, we can't see what you bought.
Just bookmark Amazon through the NicoleSandler.com portal and use it. Every purchase helps Nicole stay on the air.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Yes, it is Thursday, so Howie Klein is here from Down With Tyranny and the Blue America Pack. Hello, Howie.
Hi, and I'm feeling great.
You're what?
Feeling great.
Oh, I love it. Good, yeah. This was a week where we actually had some good news. It made all of the difference in the world yesterday. It's like, wow, I had stuff that I was enjoying reporting on.
Yes. Well, we had good news last week too, because
yes, we
had some very good races that happened, real good primary results.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I know what you're referring to about yesterday. And it seemed to everybody I know seems to be happy. I mean, I went out with a whole bunch of friends, and not necessarily very political friends,
mm-hmm.
but they were very excited as well. And we were in a big kind of fancy restaurant in L.A. And you could just feel the excitement, and everywhere you went, it was on a rooftop,
mm.
and everywhere you went, people were talking about Trump and his sorrow and their joy.
Yes, it was his truly worst day of his presidency so far, and
hopefully there'll be many more, even
yes.
worse.
Yeah, this is just the beginning, only the beginning of what I hope to feel forever, I suppose.
I mean, it's so. So it's so weird, Nicole. I mean, most presidents are literally working for the benefit of the people. Even
mm-hmm.
if we don't agree what they think the benefit of the people is,
yep.
that's what they're doing.
Right.
I mean, you know, even George Bush, that's what he was doing. He was working for his conception, which isn't the same as ours, of what to do for America. Trump never. He's never doing that. It's all about Trump. It's all about his, you know, childish fights with this person or that person and his silly tweets. And, you know, he gets into these arguments with these people like Omarosa. I mean, it's like, you know, it's insane. Her book went to number one on the New York Times bestseller list today. And who ever heard of her except people that watch that foolish show?
Yeah.
But Trump, because Trump thinks it's more important to fight with her on Twitter, like some kind of, like, you know, 14-year-old girl, than do the people's business and work for America. He's, you know, he's just fighting with her. Today he's fighting with Jeff Sessions. I mean, that's all he knows how to do. He literally does not have anything to do with governing this country. And, you know, thank God that Barack Obama left him with a steaming economy that he worked so hard on. And, you know, and Trump's got that. I'm sure he's going to ruin it sooner or later. But, you know, he's, you know, all he does is walk around and say how great he is and look at this economy. I don't know if you heard this today, but he was carrying on how if he gets impeached. And if I get impeached, the stock market's going to crash. It's going to tumble down.
No, I have the clip here. Wait, I've got the clip for you. And it was actually from the interview he did with the Fox and Fiends girl, Ainsley Earhart.
Did they pick stupidest person they can find to do that interview?
Oh, yes. So here's how the question went and his totally insane answer.
If the Democrats take back power, do you believe they will try to impeach you?
Well, you know, I guess it says something like high crimes and all. I don't know how you can impeach somebody who's done a great job. I'll tell you what, if I ever got impeached, I think the market would crash. I think everybody would be very poor. Because without this thinking, you would see numbers that you wouldn't believe.
So he said, without this thinking, and he taps his head. Without this thinking,
everybody would be very poor. Everybody would be very poor.
Yes, I know.
Everybody. I mean, what a clown! What a clown! It's hard to believe that we have someone like that as the so-called, well, illegitimate president of the United States.
It's
how he
insane.
Got into the White House will be something that people are thinking about 100 years from now.
Yeah. Well, they are. And the question is how much of the Russian interference in the elections played a part. And you know, when you look at how many votes he won by in Michigan and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, the states that put him over the top. It came down to something like 70,000 votes.
Yep, the Russians knew just what precincts to go into, just exactly which precincts they needed to do a little damage in. And it wasn't like they went into states. It wasn't even like they went into whole counties. Hmm. They went into precincts, and that's where they fooled around with the voting machines. And anyone who tells you, oh, it's impossible, they don't know anything. They don't know what they're talking about. It's very, very possible.
Oh, yeah.
Very,
well,
very
there was just a
easy,
hackers.
Easy to do. They could get like a high school kid to go in and hack those machines.
There was just a hackers convention, I think, in Vegas, where like an 11-year-old got into Florida's voting system in 10 minutes. It can be done.
And you still hear this all the time that it's impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, the ignorance is just like unbelievable. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but the FBI just found Cozy Bear, which is a part of the GRU, the Russian, the Russian version of the Pentagon.
Right.
Cozy Bear, which is their cyber warfare division, or one of the parts of the cyber warfare division, I should say, and they got into a district in California to influence which Democrat would get to fight Moscow's favorite candidate. So, and it was very interesting because it made me realize something. So, they did this in two districts in Orange County. The one district that I'm going to talk about first, and then the second district where they haven't been able to definitely connect it to the Russians. It happened, and it happened at the same time, so it's likely that it was the Russians, but they're not sure. They don't have the forensic proof. The first one, they do have the forensic proof, and that is California 48. So that's the coastal district of Orange County. When people think of Orange County, this is the district they think about with the surfers and all the beach towns are there.
Is that Rohrbacker? Yeah, Rohrbacker. I was asking if that was Rohrbacker.
Who is known as Moscow's favorite member of Congress. He's, mm-hmm. you know, gone over there and met them. He's always pleading their case. It's amazing how much of a Russian file he is. It's like shocking, especially from this district. It doesn't make any sense. But in any case, they wanted to make sure he would win. So the conventional wisdom around Washington in the early days of the campaign was that the Democrats had a very, very strong candidate named Hans Kierstead. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the DCCC recruited Hans. And on paper, he looked really good. He did look like he was going to be a great candidate. He had everything going for him on paper. And at that time, that's when the Russians did their hacking and tried to throw the election to another candidate so that Hans wouldn't be – so that Hans's campaign would get screwed up. That was their goal, was to make sure another candidate won the Democratic part of the primary, because the Democrats and the Republicans run in an open primary.
Right.
So it's not like a Democratic primary and a Republican primary. Mm-hmm. Everybody, regardless of party, runs on the same one, primary.
Right.
So they knew that Rohrabacher would get in, and then they wanted to make sure that the Democrat who got in was not Hans Kierstead, because the conventional wisdom in Washington was that he is a really strong candidate, and if he gets in, he could possibly beat Rohrabacher. So they wanted to get rid of him. So they hacked into his campaign, several computers of his top staffers, and then eventually, just recently, the FBI found out what it was, and it was reported in the local papers. So the interesting thing was he turned out to be a dud of a candidate. Once he got on the campaign trail and started campaigning in front of real people, it didn't matter what the paper said, how good he looked on paper.
Right.
It didn't make any difference. He was not a good candidate. People didn't like him. But it was too late. The Russians had already screwed him up, and inadvertently they didn't want to, but they inadvertently boosted the guy who really was the good candidate in that race, and Harley Rauta wound up winning winning the primary. So he's the one that's going to be going up against Dana Rohrabacher. So in other words, the Russians did the wrong thing.
Uh-huh.
Same thing happened in California 45, the 45th district, where, again, in the early stages of the campaign when the Russians did this thing, there was a candidate that everyone was saying, oh, he's so great. This guy is going to rule the world. He's going to beat Mimi Walters. So Mimi Walters is one of the worst of the Trump rubber stamps.
Okay.
She is like 100%. I shouldn't say 100%, but 99% with Trump. She whatever Trump wants, she just goes for it. She's got one of the worst voting records of any Republican in Congress when it comes to Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you like Trump, she's got one of the best voting records. But I have a feeling not many of your listeners like Trump.
No, I don't think so.
In any case, they wanted to protect her, and to do that, they needed to get rid of Dave Min. Because he's close with Chuck Schumer. He used to work for Chuck Schumer. He's a kind of a Wall Street guy. He'd be able to get money to go up against Min. And he looked to them as like he's a good candidate. And whoever targeted that district and targeted him was someone who could access Democratic thought there. So it'd be hard for the Russians to do, but very, very easy for people in the Trump orbit to do, and I'm going to get into that in a second. So presumably there's no proof of this yet. There's proof that the campaign was hacked, but there's no proof who did it. You know, in the other race there is proof. In this race they don't have it yet. But presumably it was the Russians who got into Dave Min's campaign stuff early on, and I don't know what they did, but they did something that made him lose the primary. And the person who won was Katie Porter. But it turned out, as the race went on, Min turned out to be a terrible candidate. He was awful, just like Kierstead.
Wow.
This guy was a really bad candidate, a dud. He couldn't get along with people. Everyone hated him. He was just really negative to the other candidates that were running, and they all hated him. And Katie turned out to be so good that Elizabeth Warren endorsed her. So you say, well, you know, Democrats endorse Democrats. That's how it goes. No, that's not how it goes. Elizabeth Warren has only endorsed one woman, one candidate running for Congress, for the House.
Wow.
So she has endorsed people who are running for the Senate, which is where she is, but she hasn't endorsed, you know, a bunch of House candidates, except Katie Porter. Katie Porter is an incredible candidate, but the Russians didn't know that. So in both cases, in Orange County, they helped to throw the race to candidates who really could beat the Republicans they were trying to protect. So they did something really stupid. So I started thinking, who in the Trump campaign is stupid enough to do this kind of thing? Who's stupid enough and has the power to be the one in charge of targeting? Who is that? And I know who it was. I mean, I don't know because someone told me.
Uh-huh.
I know because I figured it out. And we'll see if I'm right or not eventually. But I think it was Jared Kushner.
I was just going to say that.
The reason I think it's Jared, not just because he's a moron, but also because he was in charge of the Russian targeting in 2016.
Right.
It was him who was the one that was pointing out the districts in Pennsylvania, the districts in Florida, the districts in Wisconsin and in Michigan. He and as it turned out, Minnesota, but it didn't work there. And Iowa, and it did work there.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one that was pointing out very, very, very specific information. I mean, the Russians don't know anything about American precincts.
Right.
They might know about a state, but you know, it wouldn't work in a state. You have to know exactly where to go, and it's got to be a pinprick, and otherwise, you know, you're going to get caught. So it's not that he did the work. They had a bunch of people working for them in Houston, a whole war room who was doing the work. But it's not the kind of thing that someone can just call up the Russians and say, "Hey, we got this information for you." That's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Kushner that had the remember that back door thing?
Yes, he wanted to set up the back channel, the direct back channel.
The back channel. That's what I meant. And it was him who gave the Russians that information. And here he is doing it again for the midterms, doing the same thing, and already the boob got caught in the Dana Rohrabacher case.
Wow.
So, you know, I'm giving you my opinion. No,
uh-huh.
No one can take that to the bank. Don't bet on it, please. But I have a feeling that it won't be too long before we find out that he was very involved. My guess is that he is definitely one of the targets of the Mueller investigation.
Oh, I'm sure. And there's only a few of them left that haven't been talked to yet by Mueller's team. And they're saying that they go to all the people around them where the circle gets tighter and tighter. And I think Jared's definitely in for some pain here, as is Don Jr.
Yes, or as I like to say, fuck up Jr.
Yes. You know, Howie, you were talking about bad candidates. I got to say, I just played a little while ago the video that has gone viral now with Beto O'Rourke answering the question about the football players taking a knee. He's just so good.
He is. He's really good. You know, it's funny. We have some really, really excellent candidates in, of all places, Texas.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Beto is a very, very good candidate. You know, Blue America got started with Beto a long time ago before he was running for Congress.
Mm-hmm.
You probably know this already, but people say a punk rocker. He wasn't really a punk rocker. He was an emo rocker, but he was in a band.
Okay.
They used to tour around the country. Cool guy. And, I got to know him a little bit. And when he decided to take on a conservative, entrenched Democratic incumbent in El Paso, Blue America jumped in and we helped him with, you know, both raising money, and we did an IE for him as well. And he won very substantially. So it was a really big deal. So we've, you know, sort of kept in touch, and we were very excited when he decided to take on Ted Cruz, which is what he's doing now. And, and then on the other hand, lately he has been campaigning, as you, everyone knows, he's gone to every single county in Texas, counties that hadn't seen a Democrat since LBJ.
Wow.
And he's making a really great impression. He's now neck and neck with Ted Cruz. I mean, Ted Cruz said today that he was complaining. He sends me his campaign letters. I don't know why. But he was campaigning that Beto was within 2 points of him.
Wow.
The last poll that I saw
was 4,
which came out a couple of days sooner, showed Beto beating him by 2 points.
Oh, really?
But,
wow.
You know, 2 points is within the margin of error.
Sure.
So when someone is winning or losing by 2 points, it's a dead heat. It's a draw. You can't really say who's going to win. So, but Beto, you know, I mean, when does a Democrat come that close in Texas? I mean, that's amazing. A lot has to do with, you know, I mean, it's not just that Beto was so good. It's also that Ted Cruz is so bad. I mean,
yes.
that's a part of the calculus here.
That is true. That is true.
But yep. And of course, the DSCC is ignoring this race entirely. They have
unbelievable.
You know, all three of their candidates are extreme conservative. The most conservative Democrats in the country are running for Senate in Arizona, Nevada, and Tennessee. And the DCCC is pouring in all their money into those three and just ignoring Beto. And Beto's doing really, really well. Now, some of those other candidates are doing well, too.
Mm-hmm.
But Beto's doing just as well. So that's exciting. And I'm also excited because Beto is going around Texas and boosting our congressional candidates.
Mm-hmm.
So people the DCCC is ignoring, like Mike Siegel in a district that goes from the outskirts of Houston all the way across into northern Austin. And Mike is a great candidate, and he'd make an amazing member of Congress. And Beto was campaigning with him in his district. And Beto was a star, and he brings people who might not otherwise come. So that's really good. And in fact, just when you called, I was looking at this docu-series. I know you tweeted about it the other day, so you know what I'm talking about. But a filmmaking company has been following Dana Steele mm-hmm. around her district since the day she announced that she's running. And they're filming all this stuff because, you know, she's running a really colorful campaign. She's a radio. We both know her from her days on the radio.
Right.
And she knows all these rock stars, and they come out and play for her. And so it's not like just some, you know, less than exciting congressional campaign. She's running a very, very exciting campaign. And they made a 6-part docuseries about her. They're still working on it. And it's going to be released in the first week in September.
Oh, great.
And then every 2 weeks after that, they're going to put out another one right up until the election. So I was just writing about that just now. I'm going to play some of it on embed a video on my blog sometime this week. And then Beto also came to her district and campaigned with her. I just got a picture from her and Beto.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, she seems to be doing great. I saw she had Melissa Etheridge come in and do a concert fundraiser for her.
David Crosby and Joan Jett.
Yep.
And other people as well, some who are well-known and some who aren't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the guitar players from Boston, from the band Boston,
uh-huh.
came in and did it as well. So, you know, people remember her. I mean, because I had a record company, when we wanted to get, and she was a DJ on Texas, what is it?
KLOL.
FM 101, KLOL.
KLOL.
So that was
Houston,
the most important, for rock, that was the most important radio station in the whole state of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the music director. Which means she had a big part in deciding what music gets on the air. And for a lot of people in Texas, in her district now, Texas 36, which is the eastern suburbs of Houston, and then it goes way up, but everyone knows her. Because
mm-hmm.
the first time they heard fill in the blank, The Who, Pink Floyd, the first time they heard them was her saying, "Oh, I've got this great new band to play for you. They're called Pink Floyd.
Right.
Listen and tell me what you think."
Right.
And and that's what she would do, and it was so exciting. The other thing is that she was famous for someone who took requests. And a lot of people don't want to take requests. They just want to play what they want to play. And she would always put her listeners on the air making a request, and then she would play their music. And, you know, her and I talked a little bit about that, and she told me that that's what she wants to do when she's in Congress. She wants to take requests. She wants to know what the people in her district want, what they expect of her, and what she can do to make their lives better. So that's something, of course, that always gets me excited. And she's running against some, like, you know, numbnuts, bump on a log, right-wing lunatic, you know, and a real ideologue. It's just for him, it's just all about, you know, being pure, pure, pure. And, you know, last year it was just, you know, being pure, pure conservative. This year it's just being pure, pure, pure Trump.
Ugh.
And, you know, you would look at a district like this and you think, you know, this district cannot go for a Democrat. It was made to be an all-Republican district. It's impossible. And I would agree with that, except for one thing, and that's Dana. I mean, normally a Democratic candidate, first of all, has no money, and she has raised a ton of money. And the other thing is that a Democratic candidate, you go up to these people and you say, I'm the Democrat running, and they walk away.
Right.
But Dana goes up to them and says, I'm Dana Steele, and boom, the first time I heard that Eric Clapton song, you played it for me. It's my favorite song, 30 years later.
Right.
I mean, I remember when we needed to get Eric Clapton played. That was where we returned. We turned to Dana Steele. She was there for us.
Mm-hmm. And so I know she's plugging away. She's busy. So hopefully, look, stranger things have happened. This could go her way.
Right. Let's hope it does, because she is a absolute progressive. She's had a career. She still has a great career, as a matter of fact. She writes books. She's an author. She's a speaker. You know, she's doing well. Her husband was an astronaut. She's not doing this for herself.
Right.
She's not doing this to create a career for herself. She's doing this in the context of what she can do for a very, very, very hard-pressed district.
Yeah.
That's what Dana Steele is trying to do. And I love candidates like that. And, you know, can she win? Hey, no one in the world thought that Conor Lamb could win his district in Pennsylvania that Trump took by such a giant margin. And he did.
Yep.
And if he can win, Dana can win. It doesn't mean that she's going to win, but she actually has a shot at it.
Yeah, and if Trump keeps digging himself in deeper holes and people around him keep, doing plea deals, who knows what can happen by November 6th, right? Hey, Howie, I got
Did anything happen today? I've been writing all day, so he did anything, I missed it.
Not yet, no. Just he's still digging himself in deeper holes. I got a question for you from the chat room. Vermont Gina asks, does Howie think candidates should add running on impeachment? I've heard a few reps saying it's too serious to go there. I've heard some say it would mobilize, you know, the Trumpsters to get out and fight the impeachment if they were to go there.
It also mobilizes Democrats.
That's right.
So today, and I'll have this, I think I even have it on my blog now. Yes, my early morning post has the video. Alan Grayson is running on impeachment, among other things. I mean, Alan is mostly known in his whole career for someone who was all about helping seniors. I mean, before he ever ran for Congress, he founded and ran an organization specifically for seniors. So that's what he's known for. And for, you know, I mean, he's a guy who's important in terms of peace. And there are a lot of issues that are important to him. And people know that in that district. He's running in his old district.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, his billboards are all dump Trump, vote Alan Grace. And this video that he just sent me today, it's about impeachment. That's it. It's not about any of the other stuff. I mean, he has other videos and TV spots and stuff that are about the other stuff, but this is a 30-second spot that's being played all over Orlando television, and it's just, you know, impeach Donald Trump, and it shows pictures of all of the felons that are surrounding Trump, and it doesn't fool around. I mean, and yes, to answer the question, I do think that Democrats should be running on this, and yes, it will motivate some Republicans, absolutely. But, you know, they're not going to, you know, they do what they do. We have to motivate Democrats.
Yep.
We have to get them out to vote. And there are so many states where Democrats don't come out and vote. If every person who is eligible to vote came out, Republicans and Democrats and independents, the Democrats have almost every seat in the House. So it's really, really important to get our people out there. And they want to see something like this. They want somebody to say, I will work to impeach Donald Trump. I asked Alan a couple of days ago, what are you going to do on the first day you're back in Congress? And he knew immediately what he's going to do. He didn't hesitate one second. He said, I am going to talk for 1 hour about why Donald Trump should be impeached and how we're going to do it.
Wow. I do miss Alan Grayson's floor speeches. I got to say, the one that brought him to most of our attention was the Republican health care plan is to not get sick. And if you do get sick, die quickly. That
was it.
That was what introduced Alan Grayson to the American people. And it's been a bit of a roller coaster. But I would love to see him do a speech on impeaching Trump.
Well, I would too. This video is great. Go on my blog. Look at the early morning post. It's at the bottom of the post.
Okay.
And it's a very, very powerful 30-second video. You'll love it.
I would
sound good on the radio, and I thought about it, giving it to you for the radio.
Mm-hmm.
But the visual aspect is so strong that it's much better to see it.
All right. Well, I'll pull it too, and I'll post it on the blog as well. Howie Klein of Down With Tyranny, and of course the Blue America PAC. They find the best progressive candidates for us and help get them out there and raise money. I'll put a link to Blue America on the blog as well. Thank you so much, Howie Klein. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks.
All right.
Talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.